And there's actually research showing, for example, that people that have chronic fatigue tend to have more emotional suppression and less social support. So if you are someone who has always tended towards dealing with your problems by pushing them deep down inside and trying to avoid them, which we know is not healthy, and ends up, resulting in other behaviors, whether that's, drinking more, shopping more, emotional eating, whatever it is for you, suppressing those emotions has many consequences, but this is one of them. It actually causes chronic fatigue. And especially in those people that not only do they suppress their emotions, but they also don't reach out to others for support. So they found that people that had less social support and had less people to rely on and talk to their worries about, these people were more likely to have chronic fatigue. You're listening to the Fix Your Gut podcast, a podcast that empowers you to understand why you have gut issues and what to do about it. After over 20 years of suffering with IBS, migraines, and chronic fatigue, I decided to take matters into my own hands and I became a nutritionist so I could not only heal myself, but heal others that were struggling like me. Odds are you're here because you're stuck. Your doctor couldn't help, and you've already tried cutting out foods and probiotics. So now what? You don't have to suffer anymore. You can heal your gut. We're going to go beyond diet and supplements to empower you with the knowledge you need to achieve deep, lasting healing and finally enjoy food again and get your life back. Hey everyone, I want to talk today about chronic fatigue. This is something that I have struggled with myself for as long as I can remember, to be honest. And it's something that you're probably struggling with too, especially because most of us are completely burnt out after the last few years. And the question to ask ourselves right off the bat is, why are we so burnt out now? Maybe we're doing the exact same level of work and commitments that we had prior to the pandemic. So why are we so much more burnt out? What's changed? And if you really sit and think on that, what's changed is, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the stress of the last few years has put on us emotionally. We've been through a lot. But what does that have to do with fatigue, right? If we're doing the exact same thing, maybe not the exact same, but maybe our, workload and level of commitment and responsibilities are about the same. So what's changed? Being in that state of stress, constantly stress, anxiety, fear, and worry, constantly looking at the news and seeing negative, scary and negative things all the time, it's keeping our nervous system, which is our brain and spinal cord and mind, in this constant stress state. And that is physically and mentally and emotionally exhausting to our body and our minds, right? The more time we spend in that stress state, the more our body gets depleted. And while stress is inevitable, spending short periods of stress, like having those short periods of stress and then resolving that stress and allowing your body to rest and relax, there's not a problem there. But when we continuously stay in that period of stress and that anxiety and stress state, which is called a sympathetic nervous system state, that fight or flight mode, when we're constantly there, that very quickly depletes our brain and body and emotional ability to handle things, right? It exhausts us in many ways. And we may know that as what's called burnout, aka adrenal fatigue, if you've heard of that term. But many of us think of burnout as, simply doing too much, physically doing too much or working too much. But if you're doing the same amount of stuff, like, why are you more tired? So I actually dug into some research to see what the research had to say. And it was actually pretty interesting. So we know for a fact that our brain chemicals, like serotonin and dopamine, some of these happy hormones, any shifts in those will affect our motivation and even our energy levels. We also know that chronic stress and that burnout causes changes in these neurotransmitters, the serotonin and dopamine, right? So if we're getting fully depleted in these feel-good neurotransmitters, just that brain chemical change is enough to make us tired, lose motivation, you know, get depressed or anxious. So it doesn't matter if we're, you know, doing more or doing the same amount physically and mentally, whether it's work or physically like moving around and doing things. If your brain chemicals are off, it's going to make you fatigued. And that's where we can kind of dive into the more, the woo-woo side of things, right? So I try to keep it very scientific and I like to look at the research behind it, but sometimes, you know, people such as myself, maybe you as well, might find it easier to understand in terms of everyday language and concepts. So in the terms of emotions, for example, you may have noticed that you've gone through a period of, you know, emotional upheaval, whether it's a breakup or someone in your family being sick or passing away, that you end up with chronic fatigue and, you know, coffee's not cutting it no matter how much you sleep, you're tired all the time. And that's literally because of your emotions, right? So we know the brain chemicals affect our emotions, but it's not just the brain chemicals, but we know that, right? So if that's off, our energy levels are going to be off. And there's actually research showing, for example, that people that have chronic fatigue tend to have more emotional suppression and less social support. So if you are someone who has always tended towards dealing with your problems by pushing them deep down inside and trying to avoid them, which we know is not healthy, and ends up, you know, resulting in other behaviors, whether that's, you know, drinking more, shopping more, you know, emotional eating, whatever it is for you, you know, suppressing those emotions has many consequences, but this is one of them. It actually causes chronic fatigue. And especially in those people that not only do they suppress their emotions, but they also don't reach out to others for support. So they found that people that had less social support and had less people to rely on and talk to their worries about, these people were more likely to have chronic fatigue. So I found that really interesting. And while these studies couldn't definitively prove that this was the cause of their fatigue, they did see this correlation. So it is connected in some way. And I know personally that I have felt this. There have been times when I have been extremely exhausted physically, but there's something that I'm really looking forward to, maybe a date with someone that I am, you know, seeing and I'm really excited to see. Just that excitement and that anticipation is enough to wake me up and give me the energy to actually go out and enjoy my evening, right? I'm not dragging myself through it because just having that emotional kick, that excitement and anticipation gives me the energy, the physical energy I need, even though I'm tired, right? And maybe I didn't sleep much the night before, but I'm still going to have the energy. And so we really have to look at this as, you know, when we're always looking for these root causes of, you know, why am I so tired? I have so many clients coming to me being like, I'm exhausted all the time. You know, I've tried supplements. I've tried changing my diet. I'm trying to prioritize sleep. Well, maybe that's a stretch because a lot of people that come to me aren't doing everything in their power and aren't very sleeping very well. And which makes sense because when you are burnt out and you are struggling with mental health, you likely aren't sleeping well, despite your best efforts, right? And I can help people with that. But what I'm trying to say is that they feel like they're doing everything right and they're still really tired. And even if they drink loads of coffee or whatever their stimulant of choice is, they're still tired, right? And it's not just the tired, it's like that bone tiring fatigue where you can't focus and you're not motivated, right? So this is all part and parcel of burnout, but just knowing that, you know, stop kind of blaming yourself and looking for physical answers, especially if you've already exhausted those things. If you've already gone to your doctor, and maybe I'll just quickly lay out, you know, these are the physical things I look for to help with chronic fatigue. So the things that I would look into would be, number one, have you gone to your doctor for blood work recently? I would want to see your blood sugar. I would want to see potential nutrient deficiencies. So especially vitamin B12 and iron for women. I would want to see inflammation levels. So having chronic inflammation makes you tired all the time. And then I would want to talk to the person about their diet, especially in terms of, are you getting enough protein and things, you know, combinations of food to keep your blood sugar balanced throughout the day? Are you skipping meals or are you eating regularly? Because we know that we need to eat regularly and eat enough protein combined with fat and fiber, ideally, to keep your blood sugar balanced. And that balanced blood sugar is so incredibly important for energy. I can't stress that enough. And if there's one thing that I wish everyone knew, it was how to eat to balance blood sugar, because it's often such a simple change and it's not expensive. It's super simple. It just requires a little more planning for people that are really busy and are either skipping meals or grabbing something on the go that's not the healthiest. So that would be my number one thing. So getting the testing with your doctor to check for potential underlying issues, working on eating to balance your blood sugar, optimizing your sleep. So if you've really been struggling, there are certain supplements I can give you to help you sleep. We have to look at your bedtime routine and whether you're taking enough time away from screens in the evening and doing something relaxing to allow you to get a good night's sleep. Are you doing any movement throughout the day? Are you actually physically exerting yourself, or are you just working all day, plopping yourself into bed and then hoping to fall asleep, right? And what else would I look at? I mean, I guess mental health for sure. Like I work with a lot of people that do struggle with their mental health, and maybe it's been a long-term thing. Maybe they've tried medications and it's helped a bit. Maybe they've tried some counseling and that's helped a bit, but they're still feeling off. And oftentimes it can be as simple as looking at, you know, is it their gut bacteria? Because we know gut bacteria plays a huge role in mental wellness. Are they doing enough things? Are they adding things to their daily life and planning things to look forward to? Things that light them up and bring them joy. Life can't be all about working and responsibilities. Yes, these are important and crucial, but if we don't also add in things that we enjoy and that light us up, how do we expect to be happy, right? Those things are not only for children. Adults are allowed to have fun and do things that they enjoy. So we do need to prioritize that. Your stomach has been killing you. So you finally get to see your doctor. They do all these tests and then they tell you there's nothing wrong. It's IBS. Except IBS isn't really a thing. It's what they tell you when they can't figure out what's wrong. But there is something wrong. Of course there is. You feel like crap. So how upsetting is it to be told there's nothing wrong, to be dismissed, to be given no explanation for your symptoms, to be told it's just IBS and there's no cure? When it happened to me, I cried. And every time I saw another specialist and got told the same thing, I cried again. No one understood. I just couldn't keep living like this. I've seen this in every single one of my clients. They're frustrated, they're overwhelmed, they feel like they've tried everything. Gluten-free, low FODMAP, low carb, low sugar. Sure, some of them helped a bit, but now they're feeling stuck with these symptoms and they just can't seem to feel better. And with every client, I use the same four-step protocol. And every time, they got better. And why is that? Because we treated the root causes. And most importantly, we made it enjoyable so they could still eat their favorite foods. So the question is, are you ready to give up Dr. Google and try something totally different? Are you ready to prioritize your health? Are you willing to not just change your diet, but your mindset and your lifestyle too? Then you're ready to join us inside the Fix Your Gut formula. I created this four-step roadmap to complete gut health transformation because I wanted to empower as many women as possible. So I decided to create this program as a mini course and support group for only a fraction of the price of a single appointment with me. Want to learn more? Head to the link in the show notes. And while these things may sound simple and straightforward, I almost have to prescribe this self-care and this allow people to prioritize these things, because in my mind, when I look at their lifestyle and what they've shared with me, I'm thinking, no wonder they're tired. They're just so depleted physically, mentally, emotionally. They're not doing anything to fill up their cup. You can only give and do so much without recharging your batteries, right? So what you need to do is sit down and figure out what recharges your batteries, because everyone is different. What works for you? For me, it's being in nature. It's, you know, talking about what I'm stressed with, like relying on confiding in a loved one. So whether that's a family member, my partner, or my girlfriends, it's doing some exercise. It's meditating. It's doing things that I'm passionate about, right? That I know make me feel good. So without rambling on about that, if I have gone through all these, you know, underlying things with people, so I guess I was trying to focus on the physical there and I got more into the mental, emotional, but if we had already checked all the boxes, so their blood work came back fine, they were eating well to balance their blood sugar, they were prioritizing sleep, right? Doing all these things. Maybe they were even taking some supplements that either I had given them or someone else had to help with energy, but they were still dragging their butt around. That's when I have to really turn to them and say, what are we doing to fill your cup? What are you doing to make yourself feel good? And when you have a stressful time in your life, how are you dealing with those emotions? Are you suppressing them and pushing them down inside and trying not to think about it? Or are you actually seeking support and talking about it and working through it? That is something where obviously I cannot help you do that work because I'm not a mental health professional. That's where I would probably refer to someone if they needed it, or just really encourage people to rely on their loved ones and, you know, have a girls' night or go for coffee with a friend or whatever it takes, because I know for a fact that suppressing those emotions, and the research showed this, like I said, right? The more we do that, it's going to create fatigue. And one of the reasons we circle back to the adrenals, right? So our adrenal glands that pump out the stress hormones, they're saying that the more we suppress these emotions, the longer we stay in this fight or flight stress mode. So if we're suppressing them, constantly suppressing these emotions, maybe it's been years, maybe it's just been a few months. Either way, your body is constantly in that stress mode and it never gets a break. Well, no wonder you're tired. You're fully burnt out only just because you're suppressing those emotions. Then you add on everything else, work stress, family stress, you know, physical exhaustion of doing too many things on your to-do list. Your body and mind can only take so much. So this is where the self-care comes in, and we really have to look at, you know, what am I doing to process these emotions and actually shift my nervous system into, like, from that stress state into the rest and digest parasympathetic relaxed state more often, because we're always going to have stress and that's fine. Your nervous system is going to shift into that stress mode, but the faster we can get out of it and back into the relaxed mode, the more we can kind of preserve our energy and preserve our mental and physical resources so that we don't fully burn out and end up in a place that it's much harder to come back from, right? When I see people that are so far gone and so completely burnt out and depleted, it's much harder to come back from that versus just being a little bit burnt out, a little bit tired, but being able to recharge, right? So that's all I really want to touch on for this episode, but I would love to hear your thoughts. If you want to share, you know, what you think about this episode and this concept of emotional suppression and fatigue, I would love for you to share this on social, maybe tag a friend that needs to see it, or comment and leave a review, because I really want to get this out there. I've overheard so many conversations in the last little while of people that are just so physically, emotionally, and mentally done, and they're so burnt out, and they're just feeling frustrated because they are trying really hard to get their energy back, but they're actually not considering this crucial piece of the puzzle. So if you know anyone that is like this, and odds are you do, because most of us are in this boat, if you want to share this with them, I think that would be really helpful for them as a turning point to actually just realize, oh, wow, I had no idea how much, you know, not processing my emotions and spending so much time in that worry and stress state can like physically deplete my energy levels. It's really, really eye-opening. And it also correlates with mental health, right? The longer we stay in that stress mode, the more depleted and imbalanced our brain chemicals become. So that's the serotonin, dopamine, and GABA. Those are some of the main happy hormones. So the more depleted we become because of that constant stress state, right, the worse our mental health is going to be. You can take all the vitamins and supplements and herbs in the world and do all the meditation or whatever else you want, but if your brain chemicals are imbalanced because you're spending so much time in that stress state and your adrenals are just constantly shooting out stress hormones, you're going to be suffering, not just energy-wise, but mental health-wise too. And that creates a vicious cycle because, again, it brings us back, right? So when you're in that, your brain chemicals are imbalanced, now you're struggling with your mental health, say it's, you know, feeling depression. Once you're depressed, your energy is low, right? Because you're feeling down and that emotional state keeps you in that low energy state. And it's a vicious cycle at that point. So I highly recommend looking at your, not just your lifestyle, your diet and your supplements, like we tend to fixate on those things, right? But setting aside some time to go inward and ask yourself, you know, how do I cope with my emotions and stress? And is there a different way that I could try coping with it? And being gentle with yourself, right? Not judging yourself like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You're making yourself sick by behaving that way, Holly. Why do you do that? That just perpetuates the problem, right? We don't want to beat ourselves up or be harsh with ourselves for behaving in the way we do. These are obviously learned ways of coping, often survival mechanisms that we've developed based on, you know, the way we were raised or our life circumstances that we may not have been able to control. It's just our way that we developed of surviving. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we can make a conscious choice to choose our new patterns of coping, right? What's the new response that I'm going to have when I have a big emotion come up? Well, instead of avoiding it and, you know, binging on sweets or going shopping, maybe I'll take half an hour and I'll sit down with my journal. Or maybe I'll go for coffee with my girlfriend and talk it through. Just being conscious and having kind of like a plan of action for when these big emotional situations do happen, because you might be in a time or a period of your life right now where everything is actually fairly good and very calm and you're feeling good. But ultimately, we all have these ups and downs. So having kind of a game plan or an action plan can be really helpful for when those moments happen. And you're like, okay, I already thought about this. I know what I'm going to do. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call this person, or I'm going to sit down with my journal, or whatever it takes for you to actually work through those emotions and allow yourself to, you know, express yourself in a healthy way and shift your nervous system back into that relaxed state. Now, obviously, there's a whole lot we can do. Like, we know that things like meditation and deep breathing is very helpful for shifting our body from that stress nervous system state to the relaxed state, right? But the thing is, the catch there is a lot of people have a hard time doing things like meditation or deep breathing and kind of shutting off their brain. And that's mainly because they aren't processing their emotions, right? If everything is so suppressed and pushed down, and you've been doing that as your main coping strategy for a while, as soon as you're alone with your thoughts and you're trying to calm yourself and do one of these practices, of course, they're all going to bubble up to the surface, right? Your mind's thinking, oh, finally, she's giving us a chance to sort through these things. I have a moment to think and reflect. Of course, you're not going to be able to shut off your brain and do a meditation, right? So that's where it makes it easier to do some of these practices, and you benefit more from those practices if you're actually, you know, in an ongoing way, day to day, working on recognizing your emotions, addressing them in a healthy way, and kind of moving through and processing them rather than suppressing. I am going to share a few tips that I find helpful in terms of processing emotions. There'll be a link in the show notes. And if you really want some more ongoing kind of daily support and guidance and motivation. We talk a lot about emotions, mental health, burnout, and fatigue inside my free Facebook group, the Fix Your Gut Collective. So there's also a link to that group in the show notes as well.
That's it for me. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I hope you found it helpful, and make sure that you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. If you really love the show, be sure to share the episode on social or leave a rating and review in your podcast app. If you're a longtime listener, you know what's up. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Fix Your Gut podcast with more science-based, digestible strategies for root cause gut healing so you can get your life back and enjoy food again. Chat soon.